Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's message was given by First Pres Interim Senior Pastor, Reverend Dr. Tassie Green. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 30, which you will find in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles on pages 32 and 109 or on the screen. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Redeeming God, as we hear your words spoken to us, open our eyes to see the risen Christ. Open our ears to hear the good news of his salvation for all the world. And open our minds to understand the mysteries of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew tells us of a resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples that includes a full range of responses from faith to doubt. Listen with me for God's word for us today. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of John includes a different resurrection appearance of Jesus in which he is interacting with Thomas, who has become known as Doubting Thomas ever since. Pay attention to hear if Thomas truly deserves that name. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Thanks be to God.
So you can picture the scene. The disciples are hiding, and Jesus appears to them. Now, you know that I love to use artwork during my sermons to give us an image of what we're seeing. So this is a picture of the disciples in hiding. They're really hiding well, huh? You can see it. Now, if I say that to you, do you believe me that that's what the painting is? Or do you have questions that you need to ask? Or do perhaps you need to see it for yourself? After all, I could just be pulling another prank, right? Or do you take my word for it? What kind of person are you? Here's another picture of your church family, and I can say that you are all disciples. Now, when you hear me say that, do you believe it? Have you experienced it? Have you seen it for yourself? Or perhaps if you're new to this church, you might have more questions to ask. You might say, sure, they're here on Sunday, but show me what they do the other days of the week. Show me how they live out their faith. And if so, I could have said, come next Saturday, or you could have been here yesterday when there was a men's breakfast, there was Super Saturday, where folks were feeding lunch to homeless folks, there was a big gathering, celebration for Eleanor Ersman, welcome Ron back, and the church family gathered around to comfort and to celebrate her life. Would you have more questions to ask, or would that help you believe me? What does it take? What about Jesus? When you hear these stories in the Bible about Jesus' resurrection, do you find that you can believe that he died and rose again? Or do you have more questions to ask? That he appeared to the disciples? Do you have trouble with that? I think it's okay to ask questions about that. The Barna Group, which does surveys, surveyed Christians who had either been raised Christian or had a Christian experience. In 2021, they asked people if they have had a prolonged period of time where they doubted their faith. 19% said that is completely true of me, and 31% of Christians said that is somewhat true of me. So right there, we have 50% of the Christians surveyed. 28% said, no, that's not at all true of me. It's actually pretty common for us as either a stage of faith or as we learn more and more as we move towards maturity to begin to ask questions, to wonder what we've been taught, where did we get the ideas, and hopefully it sends us back to our scripture to look for ourselves. I think Thomas is like that. I think Thomas is the man. I think he is a seeing is believing guy. As we see in scripture, he is the one who asks the disciples questions for them usually. He's gotten a bad rep as a doubter. But let's look. If you think about it, in the miracles, Thomas was there. He had a front row seat. When Jesus fed the 5,000, Thomas passed it out and ate the bread. Or when the paralytic was lowered through the roof by his friends, Thomas probably got some mud or thatch falling in his eyes along with everyone else. When Jesus walked on the water, Thomas would have gotten splashed in the face and known it to be true that Jesus was not a ghost. Or what other miracles did he see? When the blind man was healed by Jesus, and Jesus said that he should go wash, and the blind man saw. Well, so did Thomas and Peter and the others. He's a seeing is believing guy. Thomas and Peter got it. Of course, it's not only Thomas that has questions. We know Peter did, and we know we do too. We've got to admit it. One day I was talking with a woman at a local swimming pool, and she said, I have had so many awful things happen in my life. I want to believe, but I have some doubts. I go to church every week and I cry and cry. And I said to her, it must be touching some deep hunger in you for God. God is at work. God is working in you. The story is not over yet. We'll see what God does next. It's good to be a Thomas. Whether or not we think it's good to be known as a doubter, it's good to ask questions. Let's see the kind of questions that Thomas asks in Scripture. Looking at John 6, Jesus was saying to everybody, I am the living bread that come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then the Jews who were gathered disputed, what is this? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? John tells us that because of this, many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer went with him. But Jesus asked them, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Peter answered on behalf of the 12, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Peter and Thomas get it, that Jesus has these words of eternal life. But Thomas always wants to know more. How does it work? What are you saying? Could you be more clear? Thomas is like, "Give us a map, Jesus, or the GPS coordinates, please." He would be a gizmo guy, I think. Today he would be in charge not only of navigating, but also of their social media posts, because he would be great at taking video. He would want folks to see for themselves what Jesus did. He was a seeing is believing guy. He wanted to understand where they were headed, what hazards there would be along the route. And Jesus was always a little mysterious and vague about that, wasn't he? He told them of danger and death to come, but he never gave specifics. And I think that bothered Thomas. All Jesus did was, Scripture said, he turned his face towards Jerusalem, and he said to the disciples, "Rise and let us be on our way." And then we know from Scripture that things turned bad. The Pharisees were walking around, breathing their hot breath down Jesus' neck. The Romans were circling. And Jesus says, "Let's go to Jerusalem." In this moment, Thomas is actually a leader for the disciples. Let's look at that passage from John 11. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. He's the one who says, "Come on, guys, we're in this to the end." And he leads them. So Jesus and the disciples go walking into danger. Jesus is cryptically warning them of death, yet also trying to reassure them. In John, we have those fabulous upper room discourses where Jesus talks to his disciples and thankfully to us to reassure. And here's one of them from John 14 that we often actually hear at memorial services. Jesus says this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" And then he goes on, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And so here's Thomas. He says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. So how can we possibly know the way?" Thomas is asking our questions for us. And we today are especially thankful because when he asks this, Jesus gives a fuller revelation of himself that we wouldn't get without Thomas. What does Jesus say? Some of our favorite verses. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So Thomas says, "Jesus, give us a GPS to where you're going. We'll meet you there." And Jesus explains a little further. So we actually should say, "Thank you, Thomas." The upside of doubt, the upside of asking questions, is that you make further discoveries. Sometimes you find information. Sometimes you find that God gives you belief to guide you along your way. So thanks, Thomas. I know I've told you this before one time, not one time, but at my husband's church, I used to be the storyteller for VBS. When we swapped roles, he was the head of staff and I was working for the presbytery. And I was telling the kids the story of the empty tomb and the resurrection and Mary running in, much like we heard on Easter Day. And I said, "Have you heard this part of the story?" And one third grader named Sam said, "No, tell me what happened." I explained to her that Thomas and the disciples had seen Jesus arrested. They had seen Jesus hung on a cross to die, and they thought it was over. Some of the disciples ran away because it was so scary. But then Jesus was raised from the dead, and he appeared to them. And she said, "Does that mean Jesus is alive? Why didn't anyone tell me this before? It changes everything." See, asking questions can help us understand further. And in today's passage, Thomas missed Jesus' first appearance to the disciples because he'd gone out. I picture it, maybe they sent him out for pizza and root beer because they were eating their grief, as we often do. And so they sent him out, he's gone. When he shows back later with two deep dish pies, everybody's totally happy and he's confused. He says, "What is going on? When I left, you were sad and fearful, hiding in the dark. And now it's party time. What has happened?" I imagine that they were all talking at once. And Thomas says, "Peter, you tell me what happened." Peter explains, "Jesus is alive. We have seen him. He has been here." And what would Thomas respond? As I imagine the story, as I read scripture, he says, "I saw everything else and I believed it, but this I haven't seen and I can't believe it. Where's the evidence?" They say, "I believe," Thomas would say, "I believe that you believe. I can see it in your faces, but I can't get there. I need to see and feel Jesus for myself. I need a signpost, a map, a sworn affidavit. I need something." I think it's almost a prayer. Thomas says, "Help me, show me Jesus." Thomas's need for clear directions and evidence, GPS, digital photos, CNN news titles, headlines, they all fail him here. His credo of seeing is believing has its limits, and he's bumped up against them. He knows it, but he can't get past it. As I imagine it, Thomas would struggle all week. He would review what they told him, what he experienced, but he can't quite connect the dots. I imagine him praying, agonizing, but he hits a wall. He has no answer. No way to solve his questions. The disciples can't convince him. They can't bully him into believing. We've probably experienced that. Perhaps you can love someone into believing, but you certainly can't argue someone into believing. Faithful Thomas is asking our questions for us. What do we do when we have questions, when we find things hard to believe? In families with kids, this is an opportunity to build what we call sticky faith. It's faith that lasts for a lifetime, that sticks with us. It's not slippery, untested faith that can slide away when kids run into trouble, or perhaps when a professor asks challenging questions, or they don't know what to do next. We want to build sticky faith in our kids. I actually have 5 copies of a book up front that we've used here before that I'd love to hand out to families, called The Sticky Faith Parenting Guide for Families. Some great 100 ideas for building sticky faith. But I wonder, I haven't been around here long enough. Is this church a permission-giving church for us to ask questions with one another? It's part of the reason why I love the PCUSA. There's room for us to inquire, use our intelligence, to look deeply, to dig deeply into Scripture, and to see what the Spirit will teach us. Especially with families, it's important to make room for those faith stages for us to learn, really with any age. As we go to maturity, we go in and out of these times of questions as we hit new walls, like Thomas did. And when it seems like someone else's time of questioning is lasting way too long, that our hearts despair, it's reassuring to know that God is not done with us, God is not done with them yet. God can still make it clear. Jesus appears again to Thomas and invites Thomas. Thomas accepts Jesus' invitation to do something hard, to touch his side, to feel him. And Thomas's response is, "My Lord and my God." It becomes a hymn of the church. He receives the gift of faith from God. He transfers from believing, from seeing is believing, to believing is seeing. Now back to that picture of the disciples hiding when Jesus meets them. I actually have a picture from Caravaggio. It's called The Incredulity of St. Thomas. And this shows the disciples, Thomas front and center, looking at Jesus. A writer, Edwin Aponte, wrote, Jesus and Thomas' hands join together here to become a pointed lance. Jesus is sticking Thomas' finger way into Jesus' side, so much that if you get a chance to look closely, you might gasp. Thomas is gasping. He feels the pain. He holds his own side. But look, Jesus' face is not hurt by Thomas' questions or the fact that he has to allow Thomas to touch him to know. And the disciples are all watching closely, learning from Thomas. So once again, we say thank you to Thomas. Thomas does them a favor by asking questions, by poking Jesus for them. And he does us a favor too, because it's included in our scripture. Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. What does that mean for us? I think it means that it's okay to ask questions, okay to pray for help in faith. But a time does come when, in the crisis, we need to trust, to step out in faith, to trust Jesus' promises. If what Scripture assures us, that Jesus is raised from the dead, if that promise that Jesus made has come true, then all of Jesus' promises will come true. We can trust them. It's true for our futures. It's true for our present, too, because Jesus promises life, and life abundantly. We saw the last verse in our passage. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But this is not the last verse of this gospel. There's one more that gives witness. It says this, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. It's not just about knowing or touching. It's about life. How do we enter into life in Jesus' name? Thomas and the disciples went through the loss, the grief, the surprise of seeing Jesus again. And how did it change them? Well, we're going through all kinds of emotions too. Even on a small scale, as this church is in transition, you don't have a GPS. You don't have a clear guide other than me, and I encourage you to come to Pastries with the pastor. Why did I make it a tongue twister? At 11, and we'll talk through how we can make the greatest impact. What do we focus on? But like Thomas, we can ask questions, we can pay attention, we can look at the mighty acts of God, we can rejoice and tell stories of God's faithfulness to each other. And God will give us the gift of sticky faith, which is proved genuine like gold. How did Jesus' kindness, his understanding, change Thomas? Well, Thomas continued his leadership in the church. He traveled to Syria and India. He was the founder of the church there. It changed the disciples too. And question and doubt can change us. Because as we come to believe in Jesus' help, with Jesus' help, it helps us see also. So thanks, Peter, thanks, Thomas, for your witnesses in Scripture. The upside of doubt is that we can discover new belief, we can discover new life, as John writes. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Amen.